Hey there, classic TV fans. You know, here at Those Were the Days, we're big fans of good stories, as evidenced by the last 80 episodes of this show. But one good story that has yet to be completed is a story by our good friend Dennis Robinson, who is a writer and one of the best DMs I've ever met in the game of Dungeons & Dragons. But he has a Kickstarter campaign out for the third chapter of his very successful werewolf series, Lycan Solomon's Odyssey. If you've never heard of it, this is the story of the world's first werewolf, best described as H.P. Lovecraft meets Gilgamesh. I mean, I'm already in. This next chapter is 96 pages of full-color illustrated goodness written by Dennis, and it's a Kickstarter campaign that he's trying to get off the ground, which I say trying. He's succeeded greatly. They are 70% funded, but they could still use your help. At lycanbook.com, lycanbook.com. Head over to the Kickstarter, support the campaign for this third chapter so we can see where this story takes us. There are tons of rewards. You get prints, apparel, even crocheted werewolves. I mean, who doesn't want that? That sounds great. The campaign ends April 1st, and Dennis needs your help to reach his $10,000 goal, which I think it's very much worth it. I'm a proud supporter of the first two books and will be supporting the third as well because it's an amazing story and Dennis is a wonderful human being. So thank you so much for listening to our show. And also thank you to Dennis for being a supporter of us for so long. We just want to give back. And now, on with the show. Previously on Those Were the Days.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
Oh.
I've never watched this show in my life, Travis.
Truck downshifting on the highway behind me, the snoring dog.
Oh, look. Newspaper.
Some a-hole invented these words.
Holmes and Watson.
We could do that, though.
I've never completed one.
Look, safe words were established for a reason.
What's interesting is that he grew up with roticism.
All right, then.
Another reason why it's been adapted so many times is it became public domain.
Basil of Baker Street was number two in my heart, directly behind, of course, Robin Hood.
Those Were the Days is filmed before a live internet audience.
And welcome back to Those Were the Days, the podcast where we take a look at some classic TV, and like your favorite song, see if it still keeps the beat and holds that tune, or if it rings a sour note in our ears today. It's a new month, which means a new theme. Now for some, March is a time of madness, but for us on this here podcast, March will be a month of music. We're calling it Musical March, as we dive into TV while revolving around music in some kind of way. We're keeping it loose, giving you plenty of rope to figure out what you want to pick. So I'm your host this week, Audie. So I'm kind of like your lead vocalist in a band. And like any good band, it takes more than just me to make some real music. So here's the rest of the band to make the podcasting equivalent of a great album. On the didgeridoo, we have Steven.
You know, all kids' shows with music in them are pretty great, but not all kids' shows should come with a gambling warning like this one.
On the harpsichord, we have Travis.
So I've made this new invention. See, what you do is you put stuff in, and then it mixes it all together.
So, like a blender?
Yeah, exactly. Except this one is voice activated, but I'm having a little bit of trouble with the voice activation. See, what I want it to do is when I say, hey, blend, it blends things together. But so far, all I can do is get it to work when I say every variation of that word possible. Frappe, mix. I'll take it back to the drawing board.
Nice. And on the maracas, we have Amy.
You know, kids these days have gotten soft, what with their kids bop and their edited lyrics. Back in my day, we got songs about uncut American consumerism.
Very nice. So, this week we're talking about a little show called Kids Incorporated. And like we tend to do, let's see where everyone is when it comes to whether or not you know this tune. So, I think Steven clued us in last week that he wasn't sure what this show was at all. So, Steven, what's your history with Kids Incorporated?
I still have no idea about this show. No, it's funny. I want to believe I remember it, but so much of TV from this time period looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
Just the 80s, it had a voice, you know? had a certain look and appeal. And I want to say I've seen it before, but I don't think we got Disney Channel till 94 when this would have been going off the air.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I missed Kids in Corp, which is just so unfortunate. I didn't get an opportunity to be a part of this musical machine that
sure.
It was.
Amy, what about you?
I grew up without cable, so I definitely did not have it, which is a shame because my sister and I would have absolutely loved this show. I recognized the name when you said it, but I couldn't have, like, not for all the money in the world would I have been able to tell you what it was. yeah, so this was my first viewing.
Nice. Travis, how about you?
I knew of Kids Incorporated. I may have even seen an episode of Kids Incorporated at a friend's house who had the Disney Channel. We did not. Back then, it was a premium cable channel that we just couldn't afford. So most of my knowledge of Kids Incorporated was, hey, there was a show called Kids Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's pretty good.
Very cool. So I globbed onto this show because it started out in syndication. So, in fact, we'll just start there. It aired in syndication from September 1984 to December of 1985. Somehow, I think that's where I first saw it, because I definitely remember the earlier episodes, the earlier group. Then it was on the Disney Channel from 1986, November of 1986 to January of 1994, with reruns on the Disney Channel running until May of 1996. And we'll get into that a little bit more about that later. But the show is about a group of kids slash teenagers in their own band, Kids Incorporated. The show took place mostly in and around where they perform regularly, a music club restaurant for kids called The Palace. Now, it was frustrating as this is all get out doing the research for this, because in the show, the A for the first part of Palace is burned out. So where it's written in Wikipedia or anywhere else on the internet, they have P star lace.
Perfect.
And my brain just had trouble dealing with that. I was like,
me too.
Come on.
I did the same thing. I read a little bit, and every time I would read P asterisk lace, my right eye would twitch.
Uh-huh.
Just trying to make it a dirty word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah.
Am I learning a new word today? What is happening?
Yeah,
P Lace was my rap name.
There you go. Anyway, so throughout the episode, they'd sing on stage, but also anywhere else, kind of like a musical number. The plots revolved around all kinds of stuff, dealing sometimes with real kid issues and sometimes with ridiculous ones, like meeting a robot, a runaway princess, and once a wisecracking bicycle. I had to go look that episode up just to figure out what they meant. And there's nothing more to it than it is just a bicycle that talks. It's not even like this is a futuristic bicycle that got away from some lab. No, this is just a regular old bicycle that happens to talk. Because
I feel like these are modern, like these are today problems. Meeting a robot or a bicycle that talks and won't stop. That's a Tuesday. I get that.
I feel like that was somebody watched Mr. Ed while taking too much cough syrup and then like fever dreamed an idea of that.
Yeah. And we're like, they were brilliant. Robo tripping.
Yeah.
And so now the music, it ranged from mostly popular kind of rock adjacent kind of music for the most part from the 60s on up. At some point, each episode had an original song and then five other known songs. This episode we watched only had known songs. So, and original songs were written by the various composers of the show at the time. The vocal responsibilities were shared by all the main cast and sometimes supporting cast. But every main cast member was given a chance to perform a featured solo or song throughout the season. So everybody got a chance to be the lead singer sometime at some point. Due to the age of the kids, both making and watching the show, sometimes songs were edited to remove or replace some quote unquote objectionable content. In Jump Around from House of Pain or Hip Hop Hooray by Naughty by Nature.
Real quick, I read that. Who thought that was a good idea? Like, we've got this show about kids. You know what? Mm-hmm. Let's feature Naughty by Nature.
Naughty by Nature was a big thing back then.
Oh, I know.
Have you ever looked at a Kids Bop album?
I was about to say.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah. Kids Bop is they got Rihanna songs on there, man. Yeah. Like, it's intense.
Yeah. There's a lot.
But right. Naughty
that's
by
what
Nature
you hear
was
on the radio,
right?
Yeah, you gotta play what they hear, and all that had guests back then. You remember all that SNL for children, Naughty by Nature on there. Yeah. But in the very next week, they might have God's Property, and then you're like, all right, we balanced it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I do kind of
down with God. Yeah, you know me.
I want to find the Kids Incorporated episode with House of Pain's Jump Around, though. I kind of need to see that.
I didn't get a chance to look that up, but the Wikipedia list of all the episodes, somebody did God's work and put the songs for every episode in there, so you can find it if you want to.
Amazing.
God bless the internet when it does the right thing.
And again, sometimes the songs were performed as is, such as Dancing With Myself by Billy Idol, Stevie Wonder's by Seven Wonders by Fleetwood Mac, and even Smooth Criminal. By Michael Jackson himself. The show was created by Gary Biller and Thomas Lynch. Lynch would go on to create a whole bunch of kids' TV. The most notable one that I remember and actually knew was The Secret World of Alex Mack.
Man.
Okay.
So, I had the biggest crush on Larissa Olenek back then.
Mm-hmm.
We were basically the same age. I mean, close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could turn into the Capri Sun thing and go under doors and junk.
But Thomas Lynch did so much of this TV that at some point the New York Times called him the David E. Kelly of tween TV.
Who's David E. Kelly? I'll ask because I don't know.
He's another guy who's made a lot of television as well.
Okay.
Think Ally McBeal.
Ally McBeal and a lot of stuff along those lines.
Yeah.
Never watched it. Do know of it.
So, but here we get into the making of it. So the original pilot was made in 1983 and shopped around, but no major network would pick it up. But it was distributed by MGM, their TV division, and it ran in syndication from 84 to 85. And because it was syndicated, it was basically up to the local stations as to when it aired. And I think that's when I remember watching it the most, on Saturday mornings, for whatever station we had that carried it. But because of syndication, because it was all over the place, it was canceled in 85. But it ran for reruns on CBN. Yes, the Christian Broadcasting Network. From 85 to 86. And because of that, for whatever reason, 86 is when Disney acquired the rights to the show.
I can just see Pat Robertson sitting around going, how do we impact the young people? That's what they love to say. The young people. Mm-hmm. We need to bring the young people in.
Because we've only got so much Davy and Goliath we can show the kids.
Adventures in Odyssey just isn't doing the trick anymore. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a whole nother thing we could get on. So Disney started producing new episodes in 86 for the Disney Channel. Now, the Disney Channel launched in 83, so it's only 3 years after the launch of the Disney Channel that they got Kids Incorporated.
That seems early to me. I didn't even know it existed until 94, 95.
Right.
Like, it's wild.
So, so they had it in 86. They ran original episodes on the Disney Channel through January of 94. And then just reruns until May of 96 and then canceled it there. But That makes it still the longest running show in Disney Channel's history.
Are you serious? Even beating Even Stevens?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Even Flash Stevens forward? Was not that on that long comparatively. The new Mickey Mouse Club, they brought that back in 89. And that ran original episodes to 94 too. So in that time period, Disney Channel had two shows involving kids and singing and performing.
Huh. Wow. They were like a factory. They were pumping out the future rock stars that we look forward to.
So speaking of the cast, and I'm focusing on the cast of this episode. So we start off with Ryan Lambert, who played Ryan, who is our guitar guy.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, just about everybody who worked on the kids who were in Kids Incorporated, whether the singers or background, did some kind of more music-oriented type career later. But it was funny with him. He's known more for being in the movie Monster Squad.
Yeah.
Than anything else.
Yeah. That's where I recognized him from when I was watching this. I'm like, I've seen him.
Rashawn Patterson played Rashawn, token kid of color. And he's basically hasn't stopped making music since. Like, he started as background vocals for all kinds of folks and is just still making his own music.
Good for him.
Yeah. Renee Sands, or Renee Sandstorm, played Renee. She was later known for an all-female group called Wild Orchid that involved a friend and Stacey Ferguson, who we're about to talk about. So the two of them and another friend, who apparently they grew up together, formed a girl group after Kids Incorporated. Then we had Martika, or originally known as Marta Marrero, as Gloria. And I feel like she was the one that really, after Kids Incorporated, really hit it hard to make a name for herself in the music industry. And has been doing stuff ever since. She did have a big number one hit in 1989 with a song called Toy Soldiers. If you remember it, good for you. Yeah. If you don't remember, it's okay, because it was only number one for 2 weeks, but it was at number one.
Hey, it's more number ones than I have.
Right.
Yep. But and then...
longer than mine.
Yeah. And finally, we had Stacey Ferguson as Stacey, who, like I said, went on with Renee Sandstorm to form Wild Orchid, and then after that, went by the stage name Fergie. And went on to become one of the Black Eyed Peas.
Yep.
And then her single career.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Flossy,
she's where
Flossy.
Fergie started. This is where Fergie started.
Flousy.
Uh-huh.
Glamorous. I know that stuff.
So it's funny to go back and watch her now and see that that's little Fergie singing.
Good for her.
Her and Renee were, I think, just about the longest running cast members on the show. I think they were on there for a good 5-year run compared to anybody else.
Yeah, she's credited as having the most up. She did like 106 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Steady paycheck means a lot when you're 11.
Yep.
It means a lot when you're in your 40s.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
This episode, we also had Moosey Dreyer as Riley, the operator of the palace. That's his name. Before Kids Incorporated, he was kind of the mainstay in all kinds of comedy shows. So Laugh-In and everything else of that sort. He's kind of floated around and been one of those guys that helped out here and there. And was an extra comedic person. So there's a chance you've probably, or we've probably seen him and didn't even know it.
Mm.
One other person in this particular episode who was just barely there but was frequent in Kids Incorporated in the background was Mario Lopez. He was dancer / drummer, and every once in a while would sing some vocals.
Good for you.
I noticed him as playing the drums in that last song.
Yeah.
He's in the background out of focus, but I'm like, that looks like a young A.C. Slater. And sure enough, it
Sometime is. I'll make you guys watch the Golden Girls episode with little baby Mario Lopez in it.
He's still baby Mario Lopez. Yeah, have you seen that guy? Yeah, he found some sort of magic skin cream. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's doing.
Two other actors I've thought about mentioning that were mainstays on Kids Incorporated later on, Eric Balfour. He's an actor you've seen and stuff. And then also Jennifer Love Hewitt.
How's that?
But
wow.
When she was much younger and going just by Love. No Jennifer yet.
Oh, really? So, like Love Hewitt or just like one name?
My name is Love Hewitt. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just going by Love.
Good choice. Mm-hmm. Adding the first name.
Right. So, and there's been a lot of others here and there and, you know, people in the background who've gone on to, like I said, anybody who performed on this show in some way, shape, or form usually kept performing throughout the rest of their career. So this was a pretty good jumping off point for them. So for this episode, we watched season 2, episode 23, Material Girl. And again, I picked this one because it was like the best version of an episode I could find online. There's plenty on YouTube if you want to go find it. I think there's a couple YouTube channels that have gotten most of the episodes on there in their recorded straight off the VCR glory.
the tracking lines and everything.
Absolutely. This particular one was remastered, though.
Accidentally watch the music video for Material Girl that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Which was Marie Antoinette, which was excellent.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is phenomenal. Not what I was supposed to watch, but it's great.
And that was the funny thing too. I was looking at the songs. They don't actually do Material.
Yeah, Material Girl's not you're right, because I was waiting for it the whole episode because I'd already seen that part, and I was like waiting for it to come up, and it never did. And I was like, I'm so confused.
And look, if there's a fun popular song from that time period that this show was on, they probably covered it.
Yeah.
So, again, you can look up the Wikipedia and see all the songs they did. Like, I definitely looked up one just because it was there of them doing the Never Ending Story theme. So
nice.
Oh man,
yeah,
never seen that movie.
Really?
I should.
Travis.
Book it.
Taking notes. Don't worry.
Oh well, then I won't tell. I won't in the post show. I won't tell my Never Ending Story that I just saw.
You can with Stevens off the call. It's fine.
Yeah. When I leave, you can do it.
It's funny. It's like Travis's dog ears perk up anytime they have anything.
I try to make sure Travis knows anything I haven't seen because I just like talking to him about movies. So any excuse I have is there.
Listen, I need a stable of steady go-to guests. All right, you're in that stable, so I need to. Mm-hmm. This is information I need.
This is the nitty gritty of podcasting. You gotta have a backup.
Yep.
All right. So we start the show with the theme song. We're Kids Incorporated, which I have not been able to get out of my head all week. And I'm okay with that. I told a buddy at work about it today, and he remembered it. And he was like, I'm sorry. He was just like, dang you. It's stuck in my head. I was like, sorry, not sorry. And it's funny, I was listening through the various versions of it from the different seasons and stuff, and it definitely solidified that I watched these first seasons more than anything because that's the version I know and feels right to me more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so they open the show like they always do. It always opens with their singing a number on the stage at the palace. And so this one is, they're singing Money, That's What I Want, by Barrett Strong, and various other people have covered it since then. So take your pick of your favorite version, but I always fall back on this one. They've got lots of fake dollars flying around. Then we get done singing, and they go off to the side. Ryan thanks Gloria for helping him with his test. And Renee is apparently selling raffle tickets for a charity of some kind for something. But it has a $500 prize package.
And lots of prizes.
Right.
Lots of prizes and $500.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that is a heck of a raffle.
Yep.
It is. Because they didn't say how much those raffle tickets were.
No.
Could have been expensive tickets.
Did you see how many they had?
She had a bunch. Fair. And also, while they're talking about this, we cut to Riley, again, the operator of the palace. And apparently he's working on a voice-activated toaster. And this feels exceptionally hilarious, considering I was listening to the Vergecast today, and they were talking about the smart kitchen as it exists today, and how bad it still is as a thing. And I was like, well, we haven't gotten anywhere then.
I was shopping when I had to shop for a toaster. I did look at ridiculous ones just to find out about ridiculous ones. And there are ones with like little camera sensors that detect the dumbness of whatever you're toasting. And there's like a whole LCD screen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and it's only like $500 for a toaster.
Yeah. We stayed at an Airbnb over the holidays after Christmas with Julia's family, and it had a toaster that had touch capacitive button things, and it was just like, I just want, if just give me a thing to push up and down, please.
Mine has a dial, and I can choose English muffin, and that is like wild and wonderful to me. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, the voice activated toaster only works with words that have nothing to do with actually toasting anything.
It somehow only works with whatever word you've said approximately 45 to 55 seconds after you hit the button.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Somehow. I don't know how that works.
Imagine that. So everybody starts talking about what they would do if they would win the prize money and how many tickets they've got. And then we get to Gloria, who only bought one ticket. She was just doing it for the charity. And she never really thought about winning at all. It's like, okay, we'll just leave it there. Time for your next number. So they get up. Their second number is Gambler, which is a Madonna song. And all I could think of while this was going on was Renee's gigantic watch. Did anybody else notice that?
Yeah. I did. I was trying to figure out what that was at first. I'm like, that's a watch.
Yeah.
That's like, that
with
the
a screen
display
the
on
size
that
of a calculator.
Yeah, the display on that watch was bigger than my clock, like my alarm clock.
Mm-hmm. I was just trying to be like, why does she have an armband on that? No, that's a watch. Holy crap.
Not going to lie, I kind of want one.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want my old Swatch back. I had a great Swatch. It was amazing.
Also got to love the 90s picture-in-picture effect they got during the song.
That was great. I wrote even a note about that. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
The little floating head in the corner.
Yeah.
Like a family picture
that
you just wish you never made.
Yep.
That was great.
So they finish the song, get off, and they're announcing the raffle winner. And everybody's going through all their tickets. And turns out Gloria wins the raffle. Gloria, who only bought one ticket for charity, never thought about winning. Well, now it's time to rehearse because they've got a charity concert to do. And Gloria's like, well, sorry, I've got to go pick up my prizes, and leaves. Yeah. And everybody's like, what? And then we get our first commercial break. I did appreciate the commercials left in for this episode.
I'm so happy.
I was like, wait, is this like tied into? Nope, it's just commercials, and I loved them. I loved them so much. Just,
so good.
Anyone who captures classic TV
and
puts on YouTube, just leave them all in.
Mm-hmm. Please.
It made me realize how unhinged Skittles commercials have gotten.
Oh yeah,
it's like here's the flavors, and now it's like taste the rainbow.
Now
it's like, oh, your best friend is Skittles now.
Mm-hmm.
And they also named the flavors, and you notice the green was lime and not like sour apple or whatever it's been for years. I think they put lime back.
I think they put lime
because
back because they put
consumer outrage.
The other ones.
Yeah.
They've got all
the
different ones now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are wrong. You just need pure Skittles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nobody needs more than that.
And then after that was the Pound Puppies Newborns.
Dude, I had a Pound Puppy.
Oh, yeah.
And I have
I had a Pound Puppy.
We had the newborns. Like, I remember having
the
little
newborns.
One, so.
Yeah.
Because they were cheaper.
I got gum on the bottom of mine, and we could never get it off. No. So it always had, like, this strip of, like, pink stuff on the bottom. Yeah. But, you know, it was probably fine. It'd been through the washing machine, like, 15 times.
Oh,
it
sure.
wouldn't come off. So it's sanitary. You know, mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. So, come back from commercial break. And, you know, we get another bit with Riley and the toaster. Still not working. It's still the same thing going on. Weird words sets it off 45 seconds after the button's been pressed. Whatever.
That's so strange.
Uh-huh. And Gloria is now late for rehearsal. And I love it when Ryan's like, I'm going to give that girl 5 more minutes. Stacey's like, and then what? He's like, I'm going to give her 5 more. It's just an expression.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to be hard. We're thinking something edgy. He's like, nah, I'm just saying it to say it.
It reminded me of Twin Peaks when the mom was like, I'm not going to say it again. Ah, oh, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Uh-huh.
So then Gloria actually walks in wearing all white, white dress and a big white fur coat.
Floor length fur coat.
Uh-huh. That is some kind of raffle.
No doubt.
Yeah.
That's synthetic fur. Who are we kidding?
Right.
That would melt straight to your skin if it caught fire.
But I did love when she was like, you know, talking about her prizes, and Ryan, again, concerned about it, was like, was one of your prizes a watch? Apparently not, because you're a half hour late.
That's great.
That was very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well written.
And then there's discussion about rehearsing and stuff, and Glory's like, well, I've got a press conference to get ready for.
What kind of raffle is this?
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've won raffles. I have not been on television.
Nope. Yeah.
Well, I've not had a press conference.
When you're 13, 14, the local news wanting to talk to you for 2 minutes is celebrity level.
Have you ever been? Were you ever on your local news?
I was interviewed by a local news guy, but I didn't make the TV. Mm. I was so scared.
Trevor, were you ever on the local news?
A few times, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you were fast.
Well, but also, there was that,
fast guy.
And there was also, they were doing some work outside my, like, road work outside of where I worked, and they decided to interview random people, and they just stopped in and asked me if they could interview. I'm like, sure, I guess. Sure. I don't know. So, yeah.
Tell you anything you want to know.
Mm-hmm. It's a small town. There's not that many people to talk to, is what it turns out.
How about you, Adi? Were you ever on local news?
I don't remember ever being on local news. I know we had a couple, you know, there was a neighbor whose tree was down the street one time. I remember being in not the actual city paper, because it was Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I remember being in the county newspaper for our Science Olympiad team, and they got a couple pictures of us putting stuff together. That was about it.
I grew up with the local meteorologist and a local news anchor's kids were in my class.
Nice.
So I was on. We did. If you're from New England or in the area, or even if you're not, you may have heard of it. But we had the Big Dig, which was the giant like reconstruction highway project in Boston. And I was interviewed in middle school because we went in to learn about it, and so I did get on the news to talk about that. And they did finish that project when I was in my mid to late 20s. So,
wow.
All right. That was real good stuff.
So, yeah. And apparently everything's going to Gloria's head with this press conference, and we get our third number. This time, this is when it gets into more musical number territory, because it's kind of stream of consciousness of what's going on in any given person's head. So, Gloria sings I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. And Rashawn gets a little play in there and the rest of the cast, and she's just kind of pushing them around and stuff. So anyways, come back to reality. Still wondering about this whole rehearsal thing. And the actual performance. And then Gloria's like, I can't do it tonight. I've got my big interview. And everybody's like, what? but you'll miss this concert. She's like, I can't disappoint my fans.
Fans, yeah, of what? Your fans, your the raffle fans.
Uh-huh, right.
You know?
This has really gone to her head really fast.
But then they turn it right around on her, and then, but you'll disappoint your friends.
Oh, snap. Yep. That one brought her back to earth.
No, she walks off anyways.
Yeah.
But interesting, Ryan still has faith she'll be back.
He read the script.
They've been hanging out. Mm-hmm. They've been doing this for years. You know, mm-hmm. This can't be the first walk off by anybody in the cast.
Yep. We get our fourth number, which is another Gloria number. This time she's singing Hall & Oates' song Possession Obsession. And she sings it in apparently what is her dressing room with all the prizes and stuff. And I gotta say, it was impressive to see this song with her interacting with the television, because this was obviously before they could do anything green screen. So they had to get their timing right. And they nailed it with this particular one. Like, I was really impressed with that.
The special effects were great for 1980, whatever.
Right.
They were on point. Fit the time.
Right. So she sings. Then Renee and Stacy come in to get her, to ask her if she's really going to miss the concert. And again, she's all self-absorbed. I'm going to have to do what's important to me. And they still give her a guff about it, but she leaves. And then we get our other commercial break in the middle of the show, which again was very nice. Rice Krispies.
Mm. Oh, back, man.
And a music brought back related memories. Commercial of Rice Krispies too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, back when the characters of cereal were a big deal.
Yeah, Snap, Crackle, and Pop came out of the box to mm-hmm. talk to you about Rice Krispies.
Yep. And then the tie-in commercial to that was the Hot Wheels.
That was so good.
Commercial.
Yeah, that
kids with driving
well
gloves using Hot Wheels was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's go.
But that Hot Wheels toy is not in the box. You know that thing is send in a proof of purchase.
But you only had to buy one. You only had to do one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a picture on the box, and you're five, and you get home. I was traumatized. So I'm saying, you get home with the box, and you're just like, ooh, the toy inside, and it's not in there. Like, nope. I don't even know if they put toys in boxes anymore. The a-holes. Like, we don't even have to. I can't go buy a box of corn pops.
I got a Tony the Tiger thing that holds your spoon. Like, it sits on your bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I got that relatively recently, because I do listen to a podcast all about cereal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nice. It's real good.
Are they getting an uptick with all the cereal talk from the Kellogg's executive lately?
It's a meditative podcast about cereal. So they try not to get too controversial or
even better.
That's
it's real good.
That's a combination
called
of
the
words
empty bowl, if you just
that
need to.
I've never experienced before. A meditative podcast about cereal.
It's so good.
Learn something new today.
I love cereal.
Yeah. The empty bowl.
I love being an adult who will happily eat Cookie Crisp if given an opportunity.
This is what I'm saying. I'm not allowed in the cereal. Like, I can't listen to the podcast when I'm at the store. So it's like, because otherwise I'm like, oh, yeah, let me get that one.
Yeah. That's because they're $8 a box for anything.
Right.
It's insane. Like, Malto meal, here I come. It tastes basically the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, all those, like, super, like, this is the super good for you, no sugar, we made it healthy cereal. And it's like
$13.
Right?
Yeah.
Magic spoon?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's $13 and it tastes like sawdust.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I will say the Panda Puffs are not half bad, but they are pricey.
Those are pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like their waffles.
Mm-hmm. Whatever that they know means. What's nice. Up. Yeah. There's a koala one, too, that's not half bad.
Yeah,
koala
waffles.
They're good. They're good.
Welcome to our podcast about cereals.
We're back.
Back it up. Beep, beep.
We will talk about old ads at some point.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That will
oh, for
be
sure.
a thing. And we will yeah. play them because it will be great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So back to the show. They're about to have to go on stage, and apparently Gloria's nowhere. Oh, wait, Gloria's back. And she's back to a quote-unquote normal outfit. Still seems...
It did look like pajamas, but
yeah,
here we are.
It's the 80s.
Yeah. it's not the white and the fur as much this time. And she just basically says, yeah, I guess the winnings went to my head. As if anybody's in disagreement at all with that. They're like, but wait, weren't you supposed to do your interview? Wait, didn't I just see you? She's like, yeah. When I told them about the concert and everything, they said we could just tape it. And I talked up everything. They're like, ooh, okay, cool. What about your prizes? She's like, I gave them away. You gave them away? Yeah, they weren't that important. Not like my friends.
Yeah, I feel like there's a middle ground.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You can have prizes and not be a jerk and to friends. Your friends.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have
Those
to
are
give
not
them all away.
Mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Then one more time we check in with Riley and his toasters. Like, yeah, didn't work. But I got a whole bunch of toast. So.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to serve
know.
That.
Mm-hmm.
I would call the health
gonna,
department.
Yeah, we're not going to need toast for a while. Look at this. You've misunderstood toast.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not how toast works. Mm-hmm. If that's how it works, I'll just go ahead and toast all my toast right away when I buy the loaf and just keep it later.
Right.
That's terrible.
That's not how it works.
So. I'm glad that was
dumped
fun.
It all over the counter, too, out of like a burlap sack. Like,
yeah.
No wonder you're running an establishment for children.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hack it with grown-ups.
Right.
No, we would not. That would not be okay for us. Kids will eat anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And be able to survive that, too. Like,
oh, yeah. They would make it. Be fine.
And so the band goes on to do their charity concert number. We get our final number of the episode, No More Words by Berlin. And then that's pretty much how they end the episode. We get one more commercial break for the next Kids Incorporated, which... Kind of wanted to just yeah.
Which,
watch all right, right
there. I kind of wanted to watch it.
I wanted
it
to watch
because
it.
Because it was uh-huh. Careless Whisper. What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Careless Whisper?
I just saw noir stuff and Detective Business, yep. And I was sold.
I mean, that I was too. In for that, and then it was Careless Whisper, Careless and I was like, Whisper. I can't, what mm-hmm. is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me in.
And then we got a Sears ad, which was... Back then, apparently, you could get away with just putting a picture and having audio
That's
on
all
TV.
You need. It's yeah. Sears.
That's all you,
you
need.
Already know what it is.
Uh huh.
Yeah. They were that big of a deal that you didn't even need to really try.
When I was growing up, I was told it was like this thing that, like, when you turn 18, get a Sears credit card because then you can build your credit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, no matter what you need, you can get it at Sears.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You need car parts. You need a prom dress. Whatever you mm-hmm. need, you can get it at Sears. And so that was
you
like,
really could.
That was the thing growing up.
Yeah.
Lawnmower, like, hey, computer.
Yeah.
TV, mm-hmm. pair of pants.
Yeah. PlayStation.
Yep.
Yeah. Whatever.
And there was like, in Atlanta, there was a huge Sears Roebuck store and distribution center. So we definitely knew we could get it if we had it.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Or if we wanted it.
Sears could have been anything it wanted to be. It just didn't, it had a breadth, but it didn't do any of it very well. That was the Sears mm-hmm. problem. Like, it's like, oh, we got all the fridges. They had Craftsman.
Yeah.
Craftsman is my tool of choice.
Yeah.
These days. I gotta go to Lowe's to get it, though.
It was around for a long time.
Oh,
it really was.
I was gonna say, like, it still hung on for a while.
Yeah, but they could have been competitive. With everything else that's happened, and they were just like, ah, mm-hmm. anybody that fights the wave
like, we're tired.
Is destined to lose.
I remember the small town close to Augusta we lived at several years ago. It had a Sears, and that Sears was like in the corner of a shopping center, and it was just the appliance part.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that's all.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. So. We had one of those. Just, it was like, there's the main Sears, and then there's this weird alcove on the other end of the mall. That's where you get the washing machine from.
Yeah.
Because they had a loading dock for your pickup.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Back up over here, Ted. We'll throw it on there for you.
So then we had a Bubble Yum commercial after the Sears commercial, which was more of a real one with people doing stuff, chewing gum. And then the Bonkers Candy commercial.
Bonkers Candy. That
made me want Bonkers.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
They don't even have anything like Bonkers. Like, the closest thing I could think of is maybe High Chews are kind of close to what a Bonkers was like. Maybe.
Kind of, but also not.
Right. It's not close enough.
No.
But it's there. You're looking for that texture, and you just can't find it. They must have outlawed the chemicals they used to make it.
That's why none of us are doing very well. We ate a lot.
What is it with these millennials and their rate of death? No, they're not fine.
No.
Yep. And then we just get the credits, and that was the end of the episode. So that was our episode of Kids Incorporated.
Don't you love when credits are the only thing after the final commercial break? Like, there's not even a closer. It's just straight to credits. What are we even doing here?
Yeah.
It's got to hear that song again.
Yeah. Not only did we have commercials back in the day, we had a commercial before the credits.
Yeah. Yeah. Take that, kids. You don't know what it was like.
So, all right. So what everybody thinks. Steven, what'd you think of Kids Incorporated?
Oh, man. I needed to have seen it when I was seven to have a relationship with it today, because it did a lot of things that just grind my gears. One of those things is the children not having a darn clue how to play an instrument was really crushing me. Watching dude flail with a guitar like he was doing a Van Halen solo at one point where there was nothing even remotely close to a solo in the audio track was not okay for me. Ryan Lambert looked at the camera at least five times throughout the show, like a real quick, like, and that drove me nuts. I was like, got him. And then I couldn't get out of my head. You know, when you're performing on a stage and you got to be like, I'm having the best time ever. I always know that they rarely have like actual loud music playing for these kids. It's going to be like some overplayed and they have to lip sync, or even sometimes flipping silent so they can all because you don't want to mess up the sound and other people are speaking and stuff. This was probably lip synced with a track, but
probably
I was just imagining these people dancing around in the silence. I just meted myself out of being able to enjoy it as much as I should have, and I feel bad about it. I've enjoyed talking about it a lot, but I think I'll leave this on the Disney Channel in 1994. I'm good.
Yeah. Amy, what about you?
Let me tell you, 80s me would, and my sister, this would have been absolutely 100% our jam, and we would have, like, this would have been appointment television. And I can tell you, I might go find out about what that Careless Whisper episode is about, because I cannot comprehend this. It's too much.
Yep.
I have this weird love for that song. Like, there's, like, notably two really good covers of it that I just adore, and I'm gonna have to go find out what that is. But otherwise otherwise it's 9-year-old me would have loved it, but it was Travis, good though. I was impressed.
Yeah. Travis, how about you?
So leading into this, I knew that the show existed, and now I can say I have watched it. That's about where I can get to with it. It wasn't bad. It was well done. The kids could sing. That was all great. Sure. I probably would have enjoyed this at the time, because it fits into, like, at that time that this was airing would have been when I was watching things like You Can't Do That on Television.
Yeah.
In this same era. And so I would have dug that. But it can stay there.
Yeah. And I'm perfectly okay with that. I did not bring this intending to turn everybody into Kids Incorporated converts and be like, you know, I need to watch this. I need to do this. No. We're just glad Steven's watching Next Generation, and that's good enough for me.
That's all we all ask.
Yeah. I am just having the time of my life, y'all. It's the best.
Did we get any feedback on this at all from anybody?
I did not see.
Oh, yeah. Well, you brought up the emails, and I was I totally had that prepared to see if there's... No, we didn't. We didn't. Nothing in the email.
All right, good.
I got one buddy on Threads talking about how Corey Scott, he leaned more towards kid video. But yes, this too. Kid video was kind of a... think Captain in the Game Master, but instead of playing games, they were playing music. But it was kids sucked into an animated world. And
Captain in the Captain in the Game Master. That was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
All three episodes that I ever watched. But, I mean, it's the show that inspired me to wrap my my orange Nintendo pistol around my leg so I can go out and shoot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody wanted to use the zapper like that.
Thank you, Captain N.
Well, look, if you do have any feedback about this or upcoming topics, be sure to send it our way. On Twitter, we're at Those Days Show. Email, you can hit us up at thosewerethedayshow@gmail.com or hop onto the Two Dorks Discord. Let us know what you think of what we're going to be watching next week, which I believe is Steven's pick.
Yes, it is my pick, and I had such a hard time with this. Two shows I was going to do, you can't find anywhere. So I was like, one of which I knew I was going to try because I thought this show was a show that I knew when I was a kid. And well, you know, maybe they'll start streaming one day. I don't want to spoil it right now. You just gonna have to, you know what? Tweet at me. Tweet at Those Were the Days Show. But anyway, I had a couple. I'll tell you guys later. But what we ended up with is a little show you may have heard of called The Simpsons. The Simpsons had a episode, season 8, episode 13, called Simpson Califragilistic Expialidocious, where they're visited by a nanny named Sherry Bobbins. And apparently there's music that happens, and I've never seen it. And I'm pretty excited about going to the little town of Springfield somewhere in the USA. So that's next week. The Simpsons season 8, episode 13. I'm not going to say that long title again, but you get it. It's in the show notes. That's what we're doing.
All right.
Streaming on Disney Plus. I'm pretty sure it's on Disney Plus. If it's not, I'll find it.
I think it is.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, by the way, Bonkers Candy was brought back at one point for a little bit. Apparently it got re-discontinued. Because I cannot seem to find it anywhere but on the Leaf Brands website as coming soon, but it does say 2015. So,
probably wasn't as good without the bad chemicals.
Yeah, probably.
If you don't have Red 40 in there, what are we even doing?
Yeah, what are we trying for?
Yeah. Well,
love it.
Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for those of you joining us live in the chat. You can always come hang out with us. We record every Monday around 9-ish p.m. Eastern time at twitch.tv/twodorkstv. Come hang out like J.F. Dubois and others that frequent the chat room with us. The podcast comes out later on in the week in your favorite podcatcher of choice. If you're listening to it, you already know that, so feel free to share it around. Let other people know. Share the joy that is talking about classic TV. So until next week in our episode of The Simpsons, for Steven, for Amy, for Travis, I'm Audie, and you've been listening to Those Were the Days. See you, everybody.